Barbara, we've been thinking about this teaching for a long time, and
yes.
I think a teaching on favor really needs to put out there on a consistent basis, because God's word says he surrounds us with favor as with a shield.
Oh, that's so
and
good.
And many times I think we would have been gobbled up by the enemy had it not been for God's favor on our lives and around our lives.
Yes.
So it's a very, very important teaching, but I'm going to ask you to pray before we get into this. Would you do that, please?
Oh, Father, we love you so much today, and we thank you that you really do surround us with favor as with a shield. And Father God, may our listeners know that as an absolute fact, as a knowing in their heart that no one can take away. Because, Lord, you are our sun and shield, and you give grace and glory. And no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly and know who they are in Christ Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you delight in us, that you want the very best for your children. And we praise you and thank you that this word is not going to return void, but it is going to change the hearts of the listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, Barb, I've had many examples of God's favor in my life, and I'll just give you a little one here before we get into Scripture, but I have seen this so many times when I called and a receptionist would answer the telephone, and they would say, well, he's on the line. Oh, the line just cleared. I'll put you right through.
Yeah, he wasn't available
to
you.
No, he wasn't available.
And then all of a sudden it opens up.
Right. Now,
yes.
You say, well, is that a big deal? Yes, if you're really busy, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if you're calling about something that's very, very important to you that has a time trigger. In other words, you got to get it done in a certain measure of time. And that very important person that you need to contact has been made available because of God's favor.
Yes.
And I don't take those things lightly. I just thank the Lord for. We could say, well, that was a lucky break. No, no, no. Let's bring it up into the spirit level and call it what it is. It's God's favor on our lives.
That's right. It's a God or divine appointment. It truly is, Darren. And we have titled this first hour for you to listen to and take into your heart that you are God's favorite subject. You truly are. God wants the very best for you because he delights in you. You are his favorite subject. And we start here, Darren, in Genesis 1. In the 28th verse, after he had created earth, and then he said, let us, that he was Elohim at this point. It was Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit were together in this agreement. Let us make man in our image. Then in verse 28, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish and over the birds and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And this is what God gave to man, and he saw it. And instead of saying, this is good, after every other creation, from day one to day five, he said, this is good. For man, he said, this is very good. When he made man, he thought man was very good.
Now, when you study about God's attributes and characteristics, and if you describe God, you're, in a sense, describing his priority creation, which is man.
Yes.
And God created the angels, of course, in the heavens and, you know, all of the known creation that we, at least that we know about. And there may be other planets with, you know, it wouldn't surprise me how creative God is. He would have some experimental cultures going on out there somewhere. But, you know, I believe that we need to really wake up and look at how God is constructed. Maybe that's a kind of a generic term, but, you know, he has three parts. He's the Father, part of the Godhead, and then there's the Son, Jesus, and then there's Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And just a couple of days ago, he said, you know, Darren, I gave you my mind. You have the mind of Christ. I gave you my Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, you know, he's given it all to us. And he said, on top of that, I gave you my word.
Mm.
Wow. And so that really is our spiritual makeup. And we need to take that very seriously. But God has made us and put us in such a position of authority on the earth. And I liked what Benny Hinsgeth said the other night, Miles Monroe. He said, you know, you have awesome authority because you have a body.
Yes, that's right. And the body is made in the image and likeness
that's
of
right,
God.
That's right.
God didn't make us like that. And boy, I'll tell you, today I want you to forever take away that idea that you came from a monkey. You did not come from a monkey. You did not evolve from a monkey. A monkey was created before you during those first 5 days. Then God specially made you in his likeness and his image. And that is not in the image of a monkey. He made you in the likeness and image of his divine nature. And Satan then, you know, undid some of that for a little while until Jesus came and redeemed us again, Darren. But we are made very special. And I believe Satan has tried to take that special away from so many of our friends and loved ones, but we are made in God's image and likeness.
You know, I just thought of this. God allowed Adam to name all the animals. Mm. He didn't have the monkeys name the people.
That's good. Yes, that's right. You know, he did not.
And every, you know, and they paraded by him, and whatever he named them, that was the name. Mm. And he called elephants elephants and giraffes giraffes. And, you know, we could go on down the line, but this matter of being favored, we have such a favored position in God's creation, and we are his favorite or favorite subject.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Psalm 8:4, we see a scripture that a lot of people have found very controversial, because I'm going to read it here, and right at this point where I read this word, they're going to say that it was never God, it was angels. But this scripture says, "What is man that thou," and that's a capital T, we're talking about God, "that thou didst take thought of him, and the son of man that thou didst care for him." Now he's talking about us, the writer of Psalm 8, and I believe it's David. Let me check that for sure.
I'm racing back to find that.
Are you? I want to make sure that I'm, yes, this is a Psalm of David. So David is here talking to God. "What is man that thou dost take thought of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower than," and some translations have "the angels." But here we find in the literal Hebrew here is Elohim. "Thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim." And we know Elohim is God in the plural, just as it was found in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1:28.
Well, but these angels are called servants for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it was the other way around, if they were above us, we would be their servants. But in Scripture, it's very clear. The angels are our servants.
Yes.
And they're available to do jobs for us, and they do.
That's right. So the correct here is that thou hast made man a little lower than God, Elohim, and dost crown him with glory and majesty. Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This is also messianic. Darren, this is prophetic about Jesus, that Jesus is going to come and everything will be put under his feet, including death, and including the devil. But man and Jesus are joint heirs together. I know this just really makes some people broil, and they think, well, how dare you talk like you are equal with Jesus? But so many times in the Word, especially like in Romans 8, what is that?
8:19.
That we are joint heirs with Jesus.
Right. Well, that's 8:17.
17, all right. That we're joint heirs right. with Jesus.
But also in John, in the priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus said, "My Father sent you as he sent me." Mm. Or he says it this way, "As my Father sent me, I send you."
Mm.
Well, we're made in his image and likeness, and that would certainly tell you that we're one of God's favorites.
Yes.
We're certainly right up there. And we have to realize that right after the Trinity, after the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in priority comes man.
Mm.
And then comes the angels. And then comes the physical creation.
Yes.
And we have not only an awesome privilege, but an awesome responsibility.
Yes, we do. I have to bring up this little scripture from Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And that's a scripture that tells you that God really truly loves you. He delights in you. He is for you today. He really is. He's not against you. I've heard so many people, Darren, especially if they're going through problems, "Why is God mad at me? Why doesn't God want me to win?" But he does. And so many people do not recognize that we have an enemy that God is already fighting for us against.
Okay, now let's go back to the scripture that you just read, Psalm 118, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
"The Lord is for me." Now, let me make this analogy. If I said to a friend of mine, and I'm in Denver, Colorado, and they go to San Francisco, for example, and I say, "Man, I am for you." Well, that's nice. Those are nice words. And I can say, yes, and not only that, I'm going to pray for you. But here's the God of the universe saying this. Mm. "I am for you."
Oh, praise God.
Wow, now, what could that mean? Because he has the resources that we allow him to use at his disposal. And the reason I said that, we allow him to use, is that many times we block God out from helping us. When he said, "Listen, I am all-knowing, I'm every place at once,